Good morning. I think we've probably all done it before. We have made it, well, at least on social media, those of you who are, somebody will post something along the lines of, I had a flat tire. I'm on the road. I'm headed home from college maybe, and I'm sitting on the side of the road. I had a flat tire. And then a flood of posts will follow that, and they'll be praying for you. Pray that you're okay, and similar posts like that. You've seen them, and no doubt you've probably responded with one of those "we're praying for you" kind of posts. If you don't do social media, maybe you know some friends who are in the hospital, and you've gone to visit, and it's time to go, and you're standing there, and you don't quite know how to say goodbye, and so you say, "Well, we'll keep you in our prayers," and you go on your way. And you forget to pray. How many people on Facebook who say, "You're in my prayers," pray? That's the right thing to say, and it sounds nice, and it's almost become like one of those statements, well, when you stand at the door and you say, "How you doing today?" And everybody's gonna come out, except for one person. No, I won't, I'm just kidding. They're gonna come out and say, "Fine, fine." Every once in a while, somebody will tell you and take the question, you know, in that, well, let me tell you, you asked how I am, I'm going to tell you exactly how I am. But we're fine. And it's just become a politeness thing. And it's kind of polite to say, "I'm praying for you." But do we really pray? You see, I'm of the opinion that it's much easier to believe what we believe than it is to put into practice what we believe. Do we believe better than we behave? And that's what I want us to look at this morning. And there's a passage from the book of Colossians. If you'll go ahead and open there, we'll be turning there in a little bit. But Colossians chapter 4 that I want us to look at together. Because it, I believe, challenges us in our practice of prayer. There are a host of passages that I think we know about when it comes to prayer. I think that we can all say, "Oh, I know what the Bible teaches on prayer." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." See, yeah, I know that verse. It's one of the shortest verses in the Bible. "Pray without ceasing." So, you know, there should never be a time in our lives that our lives are characterized by a lack of prayer. We should be a praying people. I get that. We know the verse. Or we can turn to James 5 and verse 16, where James says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." It does a lot of good, not just a little good. It does a lot of good, but it's an effective, fervent prayer that avails much. We know that verse too. We've got that probably in our memory banks as well. And we turn to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, and that's a good one to remember and to realize, because it says, "If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." So I have the confidence that when I pray and that prayer is according to the will of God, God hears my prayer and gives attendance to me. So, you know, that's a good verse. I remember that one too. I of course have to pray according to His will. That's the important thing. Then there's Matthew 7 and verse 7, where Jesus, in giving the Sermon on the Mount, said, "Ask and you'll be answered, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open unto you." And he goes on and describes how that should be our posture in prayer. Ask, seek, and knock, and you'll receive. After all, God's our Heavenly Father, and what father gives his children things that are bad for them? He grants their request for those things. So we've got that verse. We know that as well. I'm sure I've not said anything you don't already know. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul said, "Be anxious or worried about nothing. Instead, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So Paul again says, well, instead of worrying and fretting and being anxious, why don't you get down on your knees and pray to God and thank him for the things that he's already done for you? I've got that verse too. So it's not that we don't know. Those are great verses in the Bible. They're great passages of assurance. They reinforce and remind me that the God that we serve is not aloof, that he's not at some far distance place, that he doesn't know what's going on with me. He knows my life. He knows my needs. And when I pour them out to him, he hears. And he'll only give us the things that are good for us. And with our earnestness and our fervency, he will respond to us. That's good stuff. That's good to know. But there's more. Because there has to be, there's something that sometimes, you know, if that's all true, why do we struggle with prayer? I've never yet met the person who says, Steve, I got a problem. Could you give me some counsel? I need some spiritual counsel. Can I come by maybe like 5 o'clock? Sure, come by. And they come in and they say, well, here's my problem. I think I pray too much. I've never had anyone ever say that. No one's ever said, I think I pray too much. What am I going to do about that problem? I have had people say, I don't pray enough. You know, I struggle with prayer. And I dare say, and I'm not going to do it, but I dare say, if you struggle with doing what you think you ought to do with regard to prayer, would you raise your hand? And I think that probably everybody would raise their hand and say, I don't know that I do it as I should. Well, that gets back to that title of this lesson. I'm afraid that we believe better than we behave. I believe all this stuff about prayer. I believe that God is active in the affairs of men. I believe that in his providence, he can make things happen or not happen that benefits his children. I believe that God can shape the course of events in this world. And I believe that that can be done through prayer. And here I am sitting saying, I don't pray like I should. So why is that? And maybe better is a challenge to not be that. I think that our behaving or our behavior needs to rise to the level of our belief. And that's always been a problem. James said, you know, it's one thing to know the will of God and the word of God, but it's another to do it. And we need to be about doing. And so I want us to look at Colossians chapter 4. And I want to pick out three things from this chapter that have to do with prayer that I think may in some sense be eye-opening to you and challenge you to reevaluate what your prayer life has been. Maybe you thought, I think I'm getting this pretty good. I could always have room for improvement, but I think I've got my thumb on this one. Maybe we don't as much as we think we do. Let's take a look. In Colossians chapter 4, begin with me in verse 2. The Apostle Paul says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak, the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. He says in verse 12, if you just jump on down, Epaphras, who's one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you always, listen, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. In those three passages, I think there are at least, well, three things that I'd like to point out about prayer. And the first one is this. Prayer should be something that we labor in. I've never thought about it that way, maybe you're saying. I don't know that my prayer life would be characterized by laboring. The Greek word that is used there is a Greek word that from which we get our word agonize. You know, sometimes we get in a competition or weightlifting. Have you ever seen these guys lift these huge amounts of weight and the strain on their face? They look like they're in agony. And that's the idea. They are straining to accomplish something. That's the word that's employed. When have you agonized in prayer? When have you labored in prayer? When have you struggled in prayer? I think, and I don't know a way to judge your prayers. I'm gonna judge and share thoughts from my own prayer life, because that's all I have to measure it by. But I think that sometimes we might find ourselves guilty of easy prayers. We pray in an easy way. You know, we like the easy button, right? I mean, we have commercials that get the easy button and push it and everything's easy. We like everything fast and easy in our culture. We want everything to be streamlined and just to be as efficient and easy as it possibly can be. And I think that maybe we've done an injustice as we've talked to people and said, man, pray. It's so easy. It's not like God's asking you to do something that's difficult. All you have to do is, when you're driving down the road, speak to God. See how easy it is? And when you're putting on your makeup, look in the mirror and take time and talk to God about things in your life. It's easy. And there is an aspect that's easy. Access to God is easy. But having something to say to God once we enter into His throne is a little more difficult. And I don't know that we've talked about that enough. Paul said, excuse me, I have a co-worker. His name's Epaphras. He's a bondservant of Christ. He's actually one of you all from where you guys are. And I want you to know something about him. This man labors fervently for you in prayer. He works in prayer for you. And look at what he said in chapter 4, verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant, watchful in it with thanksgiving. Do we pray like that? We pray, God, thank you for the day and all of its blessings. We pray, thank you for the food that we have. Thank you for our families. Thank you for just a host of things along that line. And we always close, and forgive me of my sins, and we just go right on. I'm not saying that God doesn't hear those prayers, but I am saying that maybe just casually saying, God, forgive me, needs a little more work than that. You know, you go back to the time of David and his sin and his life, and you read the Psalms as he describes his brokenness before God. He said more than just, God, forgive me of my sins, in Jesus' name, amen, which, you know, Jesus wasn't there yet, but, you know, that's what we do today. Forgive us of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen, and we're past it, we never think about it again, we're done. But maybe there needs to be more laboring involved, where we go back over that and talk about our failure and express our regret and how it may have impacted other lives and the humility that we have learned from it. Maybe we need to spend more time in praising God for being the gracious God that He is, that He forgives. And when we're praying for somebody, you know, hey, man, I'm sick. I'll pray for you. Okay, and so we go home, and if we remember, we do, and we'll say our prayer. Oh, and be with Joe, he's sick, in Jesus' name, amen. Can you labor in prayer for that person? You know, this past week, somebody called me from out of state and told me about a family member that needed prayers, and I said, sure, I'll pray for him, and I did. And as I was studying for this lesson, I thought I didn't do enough, because I just said the words, Oh, I meant them, but there was no laboring in it. And I decided that I needed to revisit that and talk more to God about that and do more than what I had already done. Labor in prayer. Prayer is a ministry. You want to know what you can do here at Carnes? You know, if you're not a Bible class teacher or you're not a song leader or you can't do this and that and the other, you know what you can get involved in? A ministry of prayer. That's what this man was doing. Paul said, man, he labored. He works for you fervently in prayer. I never thought of prayer being labor intensive. But maybe it is if we do it the way we should be doing it. When's the last time you labored in prayer for the elders of this church? We say prayers. We say, you know, we remember them. We thank them for what they do and so forth. But when's the last time that you spent time and you contemplated and you labored in prayer on their behalf? When's the last time you labored in prayer for your neighbors? It's one thing to say, oh, Lord, be with my neighbor. Hope they come to the knowledge of the truth. Good, but maybe better would be to labor in prayer over those neighbors and talk to God about missed opportunities and maybe opening other doors of opportunity. You being a part of the solution to reaching them and having them learn the gospel. You see, there's a lot that we can spend time on that maybe we've excused ourselves in the past just saying, well, it's easy. Prayer's easy. Anybody can pray. Well, we can, but there is an aspect of prayer that requires laboring. And I'm calling us to do that. And maybe the part and the reason for that is, well, why would I have to labor, somebody says. I mean, can't I just ask God and isn't that good enough? I am his child. Well, listen, view it from a parent's perspective. Have you not taken your kids to Walmart when they're little and you go walking down through the aisles? I want that. I want that. And all the way through the store, I want everything. They want everything and yet they want nothing. You know, they just, it would satisfy a moment's desire, but they have no true use of it. And I remember my mom and dad treating me in the same way. And you know what they would sometimes do? They would say, we'll see about that. And see, a lot of times, by the time you get to the end of the parking lot, they've forgotten all about it. It was just a whim. It wasn't a real desire. It was just in front of them. And you can kind of weed out by making them wait. How serious are you about this? Or maybe you go out and say, well, listen, if you won that thing that we talked about earlier and you were, you know, expressing your desire for, have you seen the garage lately? You might want to go out there and clean that garage up and then come talk to me about that again. And sometimes that separates true desire. You know, how willing are you to work for this? Do you think that maybe God knows as a father that sometimes we ask for things that we don't really want or need? You think God as a father sometimes discerns between whether we are just, it's a whim or if we really want it? And what father gives his child anything and everything that they ever want? That'll ruin a child. Do you think God doesn't know that with reference to us? Maybe if we want our prayers answered more fully and completely, we would spend more time laboring fervently in prayer. And after all, that's who James says, or what James says about the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So, labor in prayer. Maybe something you need to work on. Here's a second point I learned from this chapter, and it is that we should labor in prayer for others. Look at what it said in chapter 4 and verse 2. Do you see what he said? He said, I want you to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, praying also for us that we should open, or that a door would be open for them. And then again in verse 12, Epaphras was laboring fervently for you, for them. You see, there is a time, I think, when we do a really good job at laboring in prayer. When it's me. You know, when I lost my job, when I got bad news from a doctor, when I am in a situation where I don't know how to manage, when it's my son or daughter that's facing this or that, then I labor in prayer. You know, I pray and I pray and I pray and I think of all these angles and I talk to God over and over, and there's not a time when I don't pray that I don't mention those things when it's about me. Do you labor in prayer for others? What if it's not your sickness, it's somebody else's sickness? Will you labor in prayer for them? Will you labor in prayer? If it's your son or daughter who's living unfaithful and you pray for them constantly, and I get it, that's what we should do. But what about your neighbor? Do you labor in prayer for their son or daughter? You see, Paul said in this passage that I want you to labor in prayer, but not just that, but labor in prayer for others. That's challenging. And then the third point is I want you to labor in prayer with thanksgiving. Do you see that in Colossians 4 verse 2? He says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. I sometimes try to put myself in a position where I come to a better understanding of what God must feel sometimes. And all the requests, do you have any idea how many in a day's time, on a Sunday morning, how many prayers approach His throne of grace? How many times does it begin with, dear Lord, please, please give, grant this, that, and the other. We have a lot of requests to make of God. Not saying that's wrong at all. We should, and God tells us to lay those requests at His feet. But what happens when we all get together and we pray corporately for this, this, and this, and those things come to pass? And God answered those prayers, and we see in His providence that great things have happened, and His people have come together and prayed together, and God has responded, and we're so happy. And yet, where's the follow-up? Lord, thank You for answering the prayer about brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Where are the thanksgiving? You see, as a parent, wouldn't it get a little disturbing and a little hurtful if you were always giving, and never receiving a thank you back? That would be offensive. We'd be hurt by that. And God, as our Heavenly Father, must be asking sometimes the same question. What, can you not say thank you? You know, I do this for you. You ask for this and I do it. And you're happy because it's done. And you never stop to say thank you. Does God have an expectation of thanks? Well, yeah. Read the story about the 10 lepers. Where are the other 9? They didn't come back and thank. God expects thanks. In this passage, He says, man, I want you to labor in prayer. I want you to make requests of God with reference to the salvation of others in verses 2 and 3. But when you're doing that, be sure and tell God thank you for all the other things that He's done. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, that passage, be anxious to nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. He says, before you go and offer God, say, please, God, please help me. Give it with thanksgiving. Express yourself with thanksgiving. So the thought this morning is brief, but I think it's challenging if you'll take it to heart. labor in prayer. Pray without ceasing, I get that. I get all those passages that talk about prayer and God answering. And maybe we've been guilty of a very shallow prayer life. Maybe how we're going about it is good. We need to pray in the car, and we need to pray in front of the mirror, and we need to permeate our life with prayer. Maybe the time of our prayer isn't the problem. It's just maybe the depth of our prayers that might need some work. I want you to pray for this church. We're at a juncture right now that, you know, there are growing pains, if you want to call it that. We're going to be inconvenienced here in the next little while. We've got a budget to make to keep from having to change anything, any good work that we're already doing. And those things, you know, it can become a playground for Satan. You got a church and they're disrupted. Maybe I can get in there and work among them and get them bitter with each other and get them harboring ill will and get them taking offense at things that were never intended to be offensive. And all those things can work together and destroy a church. Oh, we talked about it in Bible class this morning with the Church of Jerusalem. What I'm asking you to do is not just pray about what's about to happen and the inconveniences and the things that are taking place. Can I ask you to labor in prayer for our leaders? Can I ask you to labor in prayer for the families here as we're inconvenienced? Can I ask you to labor in prayer for the potential and the aim of this growth in the first place? It's our intention of reaching souls, not just today and tomorrow, but 50 years down the road by what we're trying to accomplish. Can we labor in prayer for doors to be open for this church? If you haven't done that, I want to encourage you to do that. That's the point of the lesson. Pray without ceasing. Got it. But labor in prayer. Maybe we have some work to do there. If you're here this morning, you're not yet a child of God, I want to offer the invitation at this time. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." If you believe that Jesus is the Christ and that He died for you and has will and is willing to remove your sins so that you can stand before God holy, why don't you respond to that invitation? Why don't you respond to that offer of grace? He's faithful. And if He said He'll do it, He'll do it. And He said it. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." If you haven't done that this morning, do that. If you're a child of God already but unfaithful and you need the prayers of the church, maybe now would be the perfect time to request prayers while we're in a mind that not only will we pray, but maybe we need to be more mindful of laboring in prayer for each other. If there's some need in your family and in your life that you need to have prayers for, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.